Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on holiday. This is podcast number 454, August 29th, 2010. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by Cameron Karting. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Red Line Oil Karting Championship. Check them out at CameronKarting.com. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, is Vettel as good as we've been led to believe? Kubica makes a mistake. Fernando says it ain't over until it's over, dude. And Schumi shines at Spa. Steve, welcome to the studio. Spa Francorchamps is right here. We've got the water. We've got the weather. We've got the Ardennes Forest. We've got the Battle of the Bulge. We've got Bastogne, the Third Army. George Patton is coming in to save everybody.
And it was a classic Spa weekend. You know, it's like, oop, a little bit of rain. Ah, everybody's into the fence.
Classic. Absolutely classic. I love Spa.
No, it's just such a phenomenally beautiful track. You know, you're driving around in the forest. You know, it feels like you're kind of going up and down the hills. And you're going to get somewhere eventually. And just some good top speed, some great shots of people racing down the long straight.
Yeah.
I remember one shot where Fernando's pulling up on Sutil, and he kind of gets past him, and then by the end of the straight, Sutil's back in front of him. Oh, sweet. You don't get to see that very often anymore in Formula One.
And also the cars in full gas tanks going through Eau Rouge flat out.
Yeah.
Because those full tanks, that's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
To
lots of light wines, lot of white lines from the legality planks dragging.
Exactly. And of course, let's go right to qualifying. And the first thing I need to talk about is the testing on the flexi wings. They passed. Ferrari passed. Even McLaren was tested because I guess they wanted to mix it up a little bit.
Well, if you're going to go test the two people that you say are everybody, you pretty much need to run everybody through that ringer.
Especially since McLaren are the whiners that caused all this extra testing.
They should have been first in freaking line.
Now, of course, Martin Whitmarsh is certain that their front wings were modified to pass the test. He said they looked different, they smelled different, they felt different. Therefore, he knows and believes that both Red Bull and Ferrari modified their wings. They're not running as low as they were, and hence the reason why they passed.
I think they would have passed even if they were still using the ones they were using.
Well, you know, the power of suggestion, Stephen. You know, if Martin is convinced of something,
he's gonna be convinced pretty much no matter what, one way or the other. You know, that either they're dodging it or that, you know, they're still using them. So.
Exactly. So interesting, of course, Ferrari looking great in practice. Fernando looking phenomenal in practice. Robert Kubica and, of course, the Renault and the F-Duck doing fine, just wonderful in practice, showing some pace. The F-Duck is working. Renault has been impressive in the sense that not only do I like the team, but every time they have an upgrade, it seems to be somewhat effective.
It seems to be an effective upgrade. And not only that, but even you know, they're basically the last team to bring an F-duct, and it works well. Whereas some of the other teams we've seen have brought in improvements to the car and gone, well, wait a minute, no, I don't think we're going to use these because something's, it's not working as it did in the models or the wind tunnel.
Yeah, and that's part of the all of the R&D. I mean, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But Renault seems to be working well as a team, and of course, Robert Kubica really keeping them well gelled.
Oh, he's producing. You know, they give him an improvement, and he makes it work, and he shows the improvement with that upgrade.
Absolutely. And of course, once again, I want to repeat that this is Rubinho's 300th Grand Prix. There's a lot of tra-la-la-la-la.
Yeah, it's either that or it's 296th.
There's a book out there, you know, now, 300 for Rubinho. It's on his car. Of course.
And some people believe that he didn't actually start four races or something.
Well, you know, there's always going to be that kind of uncertainty for a few races in your portfolio. But in the end, who cares? He's been around for years.
And he's got the starts record. It doesn't really matter how many he's actually gotten to.
Yeah, so.
And he'll be at 300 by the end of the year either way, so it doesn't really matter.
No, but I was happy for him, and a lot of interviews from local press, Brazilian press, BBC.
They did a nice little tribute to him on the Speed broadcast.
Did they really?
Kind of running through his career as a carter, and then, you know, in the lower formulae, and then getting to Formula One and talking to some of his old team principals and some of his current peoples. And
well, Eddie Jordan being one of the commentators on the BBC and
the man who gave Rubens his break, basically.
Exactly. Hired him when he was only 19 years old. Blah, blah, blah. But we're happy for Rubinho. Still the old man of the sea, but still very quick.
Very, very nice to be able to prolong a career in Formula One as long as he has. You know, give him credit for that much, that he's still quick enough to have a seat.
Yeah, I think the interesting story is all the people that have come and gone during his tenure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to consider he started, 30 years ago, it seems like. And
exactly. I mean, I think he started when they were still running front engines.
You know, that something might not like be that out of the realm.
Thank you. Anyway, let's go right to Q1, the weather.
Yeah, like they were saying at one point in the broadcast today. You know, I think this is where they came up with that saying, like, hey, you don't like the weather? Wait a minute.
And that's half the conversation. Is the rain arriving soon? When is the rain arriving? 10 minutes. How long would it endure?
Exactly.
Will it be heavy or soft?
Exactly. What's its effect going to be? Is it going to? It's coming, but is it just going to be a spritz or is it going to be a downpour?
Exactly. So let's go right to Q1. And of course, everybody is concerned about the rain. So you need to get your lap in the Banco.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen this season a line at the green light to start Q1 as long as it was, you know, 2/3 of the way down the paddock.
Yeah.
With people waiting, now I get on track.
I agree. It was obviously everybody knew that you needed to get in there in case of something happening, a red flag.
Well, track is dry right now. Get that lap.
Yes. So it was very interesting. Q1 starts. And it's funny, last week you mentioned how maybe, as we were trying to predict who might do what, you predicted Vitaly Petrov may just do something really stupid. Bingo, he does something really stupid.
Yeah, I don't know.
18, I mean, we're a minute and a half. He comes out, first lap, spins.
Gets himself, yeah.
Boom, it's
over. The biggest
over.
Mistake he made, and especially at Spa, the way the weather's been, he got himself to the other side of the curb, to the outside edge of a curb, and that's, dude, that's pretty much, yeah. You better be ready for the spin because that side of your car is going to break loose.
Exactly. So it was sort of a big bummer for Renault, and now all the pressure is on Roberto Kubica.
Yeah, and well, now Vitaly's going, Michael, not above 10. Michael, not above 10. You know, kind of,
exactly.
Like, let's hope that the guys who are taking penalties don't get far enough up so that I'm not starting in the dead last spot.
So anyway, this brings out the red flag. Because he's in a
spot
they could have gone with just a yellow. They were being overly cautious, which is fine. They bust out the red flag until they can get this
car. He spun the car in a spot where, you know, it isn't easy for them to have a crane, so they had to basically get the tractor out to get his car off the track because it was not in a really good spot, because if someone did exactly what he did, it would be smackle.
Exactly. Finally, the red flag was lifted. And, of course, everybody had pitted while this was happening, changing tires. Most people were still on slicks. And all of a sudden, with 16:25 left to go, rain was beginning to fall on some parts of the track.
Yeah, the classic Spa where it's like, hey, it's really nice here. Oh, crap, it's pouring rain over here.
Yeah, 14 minutes to go at Stavelot, turn 14. His cars are spinning. They're wiggling. You could tell slipperiness is now here.
And a crazy little debacle going on with, what was it, four or five cars involved?
It was pretty funny. 12 minutes ago, it's Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, Felipe Massa, Rubinho, Nico Rosberg, Mark Webber, Vitantonio Liuzzi, Michael Schumacher, Fernando Alonso, and Timo Glock.
And at this point, Sebastian Vettel is in the knockout zone.
Exactly. But that's because he's late coming out.
He was one of the last people on track. And I think what he was trying to do was get track position to basically be able to run a fast lap, you know, let the gaggle get around so that I can get out and get some clear track. A risk with the way the weather forecast was running.
Well, not only that, but he took a bigger risk. 9 minutes to go, Sebastian Vettel is on the inters. Now, they only have 4 sets of inters for the entire weekend.
Yeah, and some people in qualifying some people have already burnt up a pair or two in practice.
Okay, and when he goes on the inters, he's P17, as you said, in the knockout zone. 6 minutes to go, Sebastian Vettel goes right to P3.
Yeah, he got a clean lap, you know, basically got himself around in a hurry, got himself up. And then you've got some of the other big hitters starting to drift down towards the bottom of the... Or starting to drift down towards the knockout zone. You're like,
exactly.
Ooh, this is going to be an interesting session because the rain is here. You know, it's a little tough to get a good fast lap going.
Absolutely. Robert Kubica was in P18. Adrian Sutil was having a great weekend. The Force Indias were looking as strong as they were last year. Of course, they don't have physical, but they have Vitantonio. So it was fascinating. 3 minutes to go. Bruno Senna goes P15. Adrian Sutil's in P5 from P18. Robert Kubica from P18 to P1. It was pretty exciting. 1 minute and 35 seconds left to go. And Kobayashi goes off in turn 8. He is out. Big bummer for the Sauber.
Yeah, definitely. Sauber looking reasonably racy this weekend.
They did look reasonably racy this weekend. And Sauber actually... historically, does pretty good at Spa, and we'll discuss that later on and probably in Motorsports Mondial in the midweek program. Fernando Alonso goes to P3, and Pedro de la Rosa is in the gravel. What was that about Sauber doing really well?
they were looking good in practice. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, Pedro de la Rosa, he goes in the gravel. He's out at the Fagna corner. Nico Rosberg goes fastest. He goes to P1, and who's out in Q1, Steven?
Yarno Trulli, Kamui Kobayashi, Bruno Senna, Sakan Yamamoto, Pedro De La Rosa, Lucas De Grassi, and Vitaly Petrov. Actually, the best qualifying of the season for Bruno Senna.
Yes.
It's kind of sad to be, you know, 20, and that's your best of the year.
Steven? Those are called baby steps.
Well, when you're in an HRT, that's a good qualifying session.
I absolutely agree. Apparently, the rain has ceased. We go to Q2. The forecast is no rain. So everybody's pretty happy about that. And it's interesting because everybody's freaking out. First, it was dark clouds, eerie looking. And now we've got blue skies.
Sun on the track.
Yeah.
Kind of going, wait a minute.
It's fascinating. I love the
Ardennes. Almost like
it's
surrealistic
exciting.
The way the weather changes.
Yep. Right to Q2. 8 minutes to go. It's Robert Kubica, Lewis Hamilton, Mark Webber, Jaime Alguersuari, and Sebastian Vettel. And apparently the Stavelot curve, chicane, whatever you want to call it, turn, is still wet. Felipe Massa spins and goes into the gravel. But these guys are managing their gravel pretty well these days.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
It's interesting because we end up seeing over the weekend like 6 or 7 cars get into that particular patch of gravel. And about 3 or 4 of them manage to not get themselves up against the wall and just keep the tires turning enough that they can just inch their way back out the other side.
Yeah.
But a couple of people who just basically dug it in and like going, dude.
Well, not everybody's sophisticated, Steven. Yes. 6 minutes to go with Sebastian Vettel, Michael Schumacher, Robert Kubica, Lewis Hamilton, and Mark Webber. 5 minutes ago, Heikki Kovalainen has yet to set a time. Not sure what's going on with the Lotus.
He does end up getting out, though, eventually.
He does. 3 minutes ago, Jenson Button is on a flyer, goes right to P1. Toro Rosso looking good this weekend. They seem to have some pace. At least it looked like that for a little while.
Well, they say this is a track where if your car is fast without downforce, you really can look good. It's a little tougher to be truly competitive, but you can actually, you know, put down some good lap times and look pretty good. It was very interesting that at one point they were pointing out the fact that the wing size difference between, I think it was the Lotus and the Ferrari, and the Ferrari's wing looked like it was twice the size of the Lotus because they can put on that much downforce and still be fast.
Exactly. What's really fascinating about Q2 is, you know, you have Force India, Mercedes power doing pretty good at this track, and Mercedes, Michael Schumacher and Nico Rosberg are stuck. They cannot get out of Q2. Really a poor performance. That team is really having some serious issues.
They really lost the recipe coming into the season. Whatever they were doing right last year, they certainly, you know, and granted they had a really long lead time on developing the car they had, but still, their progress hasn't been what one might have expected with, you know, the Mercedes backing during the season. I, you know, would have expected them to be a little bit more forward moving than they have been.
I agree. And Vittorio Liuzzi with Force India doesn't make it out of Q2. Only Adrian Sutil does. But there you have it. Michael Schumacher, Nico Rosberg, Jaime Alguersuari, Sebastian Buemi, both Toro Rosso's don't make it. And of course, Heikki Kovalainen and Virgin's Timo Glock. So here we go. Q3, excitement. It's going to set the standard. We'll see if we were right or we were wrong, Steve.
Yep. How? See whether or not the predictions come true for a change.
And McLaren looks really good.
They've got
some speed now.
I was really surprised at how quick they turned out to be this weekend. I was not expecting them to be quite as fast as they were.
Exactly. And the Williams looked really good. And Fernando Alonso looked really terrible in Q3. Both Williams were faster than Fernando Alonso.
You know,
What in the world is going on?
Well, the thing that comes to mind on that is that possibly Fernando took the risk of going with a wet setup in order to, you know, maximize his opportunity on Sunday. But, you know, I don't know if that's a risk you can really take when you're trying to race for the championship. You know, if at the very least, you've got to go with something in between that you can tweak back and forth to make it work.
I think they were trying to be clever, and it didn't work.
Yeah, because Felipe out-qualifies him by, you know, almost a second. More than a second.
Yes, no, it was not good. Fernando Alonso's got some serious issues, but let's just go right to it. Let's quit fooling around, Steve. Mark Webber grabs pole position. Lewis Hamilton couldn't take it away, but he ruins Robert Kubica's day because Robert Kubica had P2 for a good while there,
yep.
And I thought he might be able to hold it. Robert Kubica on the front row, it would have been the first time this year, it would have been exciting, but Lewis Hamilton bumps him. Lewis Hamilton takes P2, Robert Kubica in third, Sebastian Vettel in fourth, Jenson Button still couldn't match Lewis Hamilton's pace with fifth place, and then we have Felipe Massa, Rubinho, Adrian Sutil, Nico Hülkenberg, and of course Fernando Alonso in 10th spot.
So yeah, a little bit exciting there towards the end with Lewis Hamilton coming up and just snatching away P2 from Robert Kubica. And, you know, for a second there I thought he was going to be able to catch Mark Webber, but no, and I think Sebastian Vettel ran into if I recall correctly, had a little bobble on his hot lap. Probably caught a little puddle. Which kind of threw him off track a little bit, which ruined his hot lap.
I agree. No, but still interesting. Not sure what's going on with Fernando. Robert Kubica doing an outstanding job. The Williams are doing good. So it's going to be a very interesting race.
And also the Schmozzle that I mentioned earlier in the P1 did end up drawing penalties for a number of drivers.
Exactly, including
we have five different drivers that are taking penalties for one reason or another into the race day. Michael Correct. Schumacher's taken a 10-spot hit for his fun in Hungary. His teammate is taking Nico Rosberg's taking a 5-place penalty for a gearbox change. And then
Timo
what
Glock.
Else we got? We've got Whammy for balking, right. Glock for also for block balking, and then De La Rosa had the
engine.
Poor De La Rosa is
it's hopeless.
He's gonna have a rotten rest of the season because he's taken a 10-place hit basically for the rest of the season anytime he takes an engine change. Because he's already on engine number nine.
So, oh my god!
Ferrari customer motors.
Yeah. Well, and also the big thing for me was Felipe Massa at P6, Fernando Alonso P10. What's Ferrari going to do here?
Yeah. How are you going to play it? And the problem being is that this is one of those tracks where you really don't want to be very deep in the field, because if something happens, it is a long freaking way back to the pits.
Yeah, over four miles.
Yeah, it's almost a 3-minute lap, it's a full 2-minute lap pretty much no matter what, unless you're like dry, but you're still looking, it's a long way back to the pits.
Exactly. So there you have it. Great job by Mark Webber and Red Bull. And once again, Vettel couldn't do it. But then on the other hand, Red Bull doesn't win from pole position.
No, they actually, if you're Red Bull, you don't want to be on pole. Because
exactly.
it's the semi-curse for them this season. You start maybe, on the and pole was, and finish fifth.
I was thinking maybe Sebastian Vettel was being sophisticated and smart this time.
Yeah, to stay away from the pole because something will happen.
Exactly. So there you have it. Let's go right to race day. Of course, the rain is the talk of the town. It's not raining right now.
It's actually a very nice, beautiful day on the grid.
A little chilly, but it's a beautiful day. And yes. They're talking maybe rain 30 minutes into the race.
Right.
But the radar is pretty clear.
Yeah, one of the few races that I've seen this season where you've got people on the grid in coats. We haven't seen that at really any race. This is August, and they're wearing coats.
But it's about Belgium.
Yeah, probably mid-50s when this race starts. It slowly creeps up into the low 60s, low mid-60s before too long, but still very cool at the track.
Exactly. Let's go right to the start of the race. The lights go out, and this is probably the worst start I've seen Mark Webber have since 1944.
Yeah, they were working on his car in the pits.
Yeah. There was some kind of clutch issue.
Yeah, probably it may have been a clutch issue, but when they asked the Red Bull guys, they said, no, it had nothing to do with what was wrong with his car.
No, but his anti-stall came in. You could tell he was, by the time,
By the time he got rolling, he was in fourth.
It's got to be depressing when you're trying to start a race, you're on pole, and everybody's passing you.
Yes, exactly. He does a pretty good job of getting, keeping
together.
Yeah, and not letting it get too far away from him because, Lewis beats him away. Robert Kubica jumps out from behind him, is in front of him before you know it, and Sebastian Vettel's there too. But he does manage to hold on to four without too much trouble. He's fighting for it going up the hill, but not too bad.
Well, Michael Schumacher is up to P17. Mark Webber actually falls back to P7 for a while. And Fernando Alonso is up to P8. Rubinho then decides, I don't like Fernando Alonso, and it's a little damp.
Yeah.
I'm just going to T-bone him.
Yeah, you got to love this. This is so Spa. We run the first lap, everything's going beautifully, and all of a sudden it's raining on the bus stop chicane. It's like, oh man, what, like, probably one of the worst possible places for it to get damp, because it's going to be a schmozzle when that happens.
It was not Rubinho's fault, I must say.
Rubens takes out, or actually,
he doesn't take him out.
Rubens takes himself out against Fernando. And watching that accident going, wow.
That's a tough car.
That Ferrari's got a pretty tough rear suspension, because I swear it looked like Rubinho hit his rear tire square.
And I thought for sure Fernando would have been out.
Yeah, that he was going to be done. But and then he isn't the only one. There are a couple other people that start, you know, knocking into each other. I think Rubinho's the only one who actually ends up out of the race at that point.
Okay, so this rain at the bus stop chicane causes some people to make decisions. They want to be tricky and clever, you know. Oh, we're going to beat them, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're hoping that, you know, this is a foretell of what's happening and that there's more rain coming to the track. But they're going to end up sorely disappointed, and one of them drives a red car.
Yes, Fernando Alonso pits right after this little wet area. And Timo Glock pits, Sebastian Buemi pits, Pedro De La Rosa pits, and Heikki Kovalainen pits. Fernando Alonso, of course, goes with the Inters.
Which, you know, if it were really raining, would have been a beautiful call.
Absolutely.
But
a lot of people didn't pit, including the leaders.
Exactly.
It was pretty early in the race, second lap. They didn't pit, and of course, quickly, the safety car is deployed.
Yeah, which pretty much runs through the rest of the rain, which means the people on Inters are bumming.
Because they didn't get the advantage they were hoping.
The safety car lasts long enough for that spritz of rain to get through and for the track to dry out enough that slicks are still workable on the track.
Sauber stick with the slicks. The safety car comes in on lap 3. Pedro De La Rosa, Heikki Kovalainen, Sebastian Buemi, and Bruno Senna pit again. Sebastian Vettel passes Robert Kubica, which was a good pass.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. You can see that the Red Bull has just a little bit more oomph in a straight line than the Renault does at this point.
Huh! I don't know, same motor. This was at Les Sources. Track is drying. Fernando Alonso is now at the back of the field with his Inters, and it's not working.
No, it's not helping him at all.
6. Fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with a 1:51.789. Fernando Alonso is now in P20 on his Inters. There's no rain expected. Bad decision.
Bumming. He's bumming. You know, I think they were hoping, again, first he's on a wet setup, then he goes to his Inters, and then he gets no rain. It's kind of like, three strikes. Maybe I can get up into the points. I'm going to have to race my little butt off.
Lap 7, Michael Schumacher's in P12. Don't forget, he started 21st. Nico Rosberg is P10. He started 17th. Vitaly Petrov started last, and he's in P11.
Phenomenally good first couple laps.
He just got lucky.
Yeah, well, he ended up in the right spot at the right time to get past people when other things were happening.
Exactly. Sebastian Vettel now is right behind Jenson Button for P2. Fernando Alonso passes Timo Glock and Yamamoto for P17. Fernando Alonso then is all over Jarno Trulli for P14. And Jarno Trulli never wants to give way to Fernando.
No, Jarno Trulli rarely give away to anybody.
Yes, I know he's a tough guy.
But you know, he sees the red and he's like, I'm an Italian. I'm not going to let that Italian car by.
Exactly. Lap 10, Vittorio Liuzzi pits from P12. Vitaly Petrov passes Nico Rosberg. Michael Schumacher then passes Nico Rosberg. They touch, which sort of was a little scary moment there.
Yeah.
Michael Schumacher, Mr. Machismo.
And I'm not sure exactly. I think he thought he was past his teammate. He kind of messes up. He basically tears the end plate off of Nico Rosberg's car. And there's some question as to whether or not to bring him in. You know, it didn't look that severe. From what we could see, we know Jenson Button's already running around the track with a portion of his front wing end plate missing. And that's actually going to come back to bite him later. But, I think they're debating it in the Mercedes pit as to whether or not to bring Nico in to replace the wing. You know, how's it doing, Nico? So,
lap 11, Fernando Alonso and Rubens Barrichello are being investigated for their first lap incident. On lap 12, Sebastian Vettel is right on Jenson Button's butt. The cars, with that rev limiter, you could tell they just peak at those 19,000 revs, and he just can't get by.
No, he's not. Doesn't have enough oomph to basically in straight line speed. These two cars are too close together to get enough of advantage to beat a guy to the next corner.
Yeah, and Fernando Alonso is also trying to pass Vittorio Liuzzi, but Liuzzi is not letting him have anything.
No, and from what we saw, the Force India actually had a little bit more top-end straight-line speed. This was, I think, the point in time where I was talking about the scene earlier where going up the Camel Straight, Fernando gets ahead of him, and then a half a second later, Vitantonio is actually getting it back and getting back ahead of him.
Yeah, the Force India does good.
Yeah, straight line, it's one of the fastest cars on the grid.
Exactly. Lap 13, Yamamoto pits from P22, and I'm hoping for more rain at this stage. Top five is Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, Sebastian Vettel, Robert Kubica, and Mark Webber. Kobayashi is trying to pass Nico Rosberg, but goes wide. Nico keeps the spot. Lap 15, a train of cars is beginning to build behind Jenson Button. Like you said, he had that damaged end plate. That might have been the problem.
But
not
we're
sure.
Also not so sure that maybe he's trying to play a little bit of roadblock to let his teammate extend his lead.
You think?
I think there's a possibility. I don't, again, because of the damage to his front end plate, maybe he's not quite as quick as his teammate was. An interesting radio call a little later kind of sheds a little light on this, but we'll get to that when we get to it.
Right. Finally, Fernando Alonso does get by Force India for P13. And on lap 16, Sebastian Vettel is right behind Jenson Button. There's a little wiggle, does a sharp, weird turn, and he hits Jenson Button.
And there was a little bit of a spritz of rain around that point in time. You can see that basically.
You see the camera on Sebastian Vettel's car shows rain falling, but yep. Jenson Button post race interview says there was no rain.
Well, apparently, watching the way Sebastian Vettel's car breaks loose, it was wet.
It was not natural.
Yeah, because you see him break, the car twitches, and then it's gone. He slides out around and just spears Jenson Button. The nose straight into the radiator, instantly see steam coming out of Jensen's car, and you're like going, bummer. And you're thinking that, hey, this is probably it for both of them. But it's amazing. Sebastian Vettel manages to get into the pits from the bus stop chicane to get his nose replaced, and he's still in the race.
Absolutely. He survives the incident. And I was convinced that he did hit a wet spot, and it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, a racing incident. I'm watching that, and I'm saying racing incident. I don't see him doing anything that was untoward. And the way the car twitched away from him, come on, give the guy a break. Nobody's... How can you predict that your car's going to break loose when you're at the near end of your braking point?
Well, this will be the talk of the town. After the race. Trust me, Steven.
Yeah.
Sebastian Vettel does pit for a new nose, as does Nico Hülkenberg and Vitaly Petrov. Lap 17, it's Lewis Hamilton, Robert Kubica, Mark Webber, Felipe Massa, Adrian Sutil. Michael Schumacher is now in sixth place. Now, he hasn't stopped for a pit stop yet.
No, he is the only one in the top... What I think was the top seven at the time that
his teammate hasn't stopped as well. Yeah. They both held up. So Nico Rosberg is right behind him, Kobayashi, Fernando Alonso, and Vitaly Petrov.
And by the way, the stewards are investigating the incident between Jenson Button and Sebastian Vettel.
Keep up the good work, Nigel Mansell. Sebastian Vettel is now in P12, attacking Vitantonio Liuzzi. It's announced on lap 19 that Sebastian Vettel will get a drive-through penalty for hitting Mr. Button.
Okay, now here's where we're going to get to step up and go, does Nigel have something against German drivers?
I don't know, but still, I thought the penalty was a little too quick to judge. They could have done a post-race penalty. He'd already lost so many positions. It looked like, when you look at the film, it was an accident. Obviously not on purpose.
Watching it happen, do you penalize a guy? The thing I don't like is you're penalizing a guy for racing not excessively aggressive, but aggressively. And how's he to know that his car... If his car doesn't break free in the moisture, he doesn't hit Button. You got to cut the guy some slack for environmental issue, concerns kind of thing.
I agree completely.
Again, I thought it was heavy-handed and completely not necessary. I agree with you. If anything, It's do it like you did with the incident between Fernando and Rubens and go, hey, let's look at it at the end of the race.
I totally agree.
And is it flip-flop because Rubens took himself out of the race and the guy he hit was able to continue? So if it had been vice versa and Vettel had been unable to continue and Button was on, would it be a, you know? I agree with you. It seemed like kind of a double standard for the two incidents as to how they were handled.
Exactly. Lap 19, Sebastian Vettel is attacking once again Vitantonio Liuzzi. He passes Vitantonio, then Vitantonio says no way, and he repasses Mr. Vettel.
Some good racing right there.
Yeah. Lap 20, Sebastian Vettel takes his penalty, comes out in P14. Lap 21, Adrian Sutil pits from P5. Very good stop. Force India have been practicing. Our top five now. Lewis Hamilton, Robert Kubica, Mark Webber, Felipe Massa, I should say, have not pitted. All four have not pitted. Lap 22, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton with a 1:51.243. And of course, as soon as I remark somebody's not pitted, they pit. Yes. Mark Webber pits on lap 22. Very, very nice stop.
Phenomenal. That was one of the best stops I've seen all season.
I agree. Very, very quick. Fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel with a 1:50.868. Lap 23, Robert Kubica pits. Felipe Massa pits. Both good stops. Robert Kubica stays in P2. Very impressive.
Very impressive. Another one of the... some of the stops this weekend were just... They were nailing it.
Mark Webber hoping to get by Robert Kubica. Lap 24, Lewis Hamilton pits, stays in the lead, goes with the hard compound. Adrian Sutil, fast lap of the race with a 1:50.8. Very fast.
Yeah, very quick. Track is getting nice and dry. People are starting to throw down some good laps.
Exactly. He just went flying by Michael Schumacher up the hill to Les Combes. And when a Mercedes-powered team passes the works team, it's not very good.
Yeah, something's, you know, you're looking at going, what's the works team doing wrong?
Exactly. Lap 25, fast lap of the race. Robert Kubica with a 1:50.403. Sebastian Vettel finally passes Vitantonio Liuzzi and makes it stick. Vitantonio Liuzzi pits, and then Sebastian Vettel in the pass. Once again, here we go. Vettel's back in the limelight. On the pass to Vettel.
Liuzzi just
nicks that
just
rear tire.
Nicks that rear tire. And, that,
and we know how and this sharp those front wings are.
Yeah. And on this track, ouch. Big time pain to basically try to take an entire lap on a flat.
Just so once again, people are criticizing Vettel for maybe cutting in front of Vitantonio Liuzzi too early.
Yeah,
and he got what he deserved. But there you have it. Now,
you know, frankly, if you look at it for me, for Vettel, especially in this weekend, it's not so much his driving style as just luck. This weekend, he just didn't have any luck going his way.
So Sebastian Vettel limps back to the pits with a puncture on lap 26, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa, 1:50.111. And the team gets on the horn and tells Felipe, rain in about 10 laps, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, just drive.
Lap 29, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton with a 1:49.591. And the lead between Lewis Hamilton and Robert Kubica is 9.7 seconds. Rain is expected in about 10 minutes, and it's supposed to be very heavy.
And it's expected to be enough to really get the tires off the cars, but we shall see.
Lap 30, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton with a 1:49.422. Fernando Alonso is now trying to pass Kobayashi, but not so fast and not so easy.
No.
Lap 31, fast lap of the race with a Lewis Hamilton doing a 1:49.218. Kobayashi still doing a fine job holding off our lackadaisical Fernando Alonso. No longer the muy macho de España. Lap 31, Lewis Hamilton is asking his team about the rain. He wants information. Lap 32, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton, 1:49.069. Nico Hülkenberg is trying to get by Pedro de la Rosa, but that isn't happening. He's an old man of the C2.
Yet another one.
Lap 33, Timo Glock pits pits, excuse me. Light rain is beginning to fall. Timo, for some reason, goes with full wets.
I think there were a lot of teams who burned up their intermediates either in qualifying or in practice and didn't have any.
Not only that, but each team has their own weather guy.
Yeah.
And some teams' weather guys
are pessimists and some are optimists.
Well, it's just like D-Day. Remember D-Day, June 6, 1944?
Weather's going to be crappy. No, weather's going to be great.
They had this weather guy, and he was pretty much who Eisenhower was going to make the whole decision on, is this weather guy. So that's what's going on with these teams. They have their weather guy, and some of these teams think their weather guy is good, and some teams, they don't even listen.
Yeah.
So Timo Glock went with full wets, and I thought it was premature.
Yeah, but I think it's a coin toss because as we get a little bit further along,
oh, absolutely,
you could be on either.
And but at this stage of the race, I'm thinking to myself, yeah,
there is not enough water on the track at this point to be on full wets.
Yeah, and they're not going to stay cool. And when those full wets get hot, they degrade so fast,
they disintegrate.
It's ridiculous. Lap 34, Lewis Hamilton does not pit while it's still raining. He goes another lap, and I thought he was going to pit. Adrian Sutil pits. Jarno Trulli pits. And Lewis Hamilton tells the team,
well, it was very,
it's raining.
It was very interesting because not only does Lewis not pit, but neither do Mark Webber or Robert Kubica.
Correct.
And I think it's a turning point in the race because I think if either of the other two had, they may have had an opportunity
to leapfrog Lewis Hamilton.
Yes.
Very possible. I agree. Then all of a sudden, Lewis Hamilton, as the rain begins, it's getting really sloppy out there. He's slowing down and loses it. He's in the gravel, almost touches the barrier.
He does. He actually he touched it with the side of his tire. He touches the barrier, but is able to keep the car moving.
Another one in the gravel, keeping it moving. He has enough of a lead over P2 to where he has time to get back on the track and save his race.
And still be in front. Basically, his lead is now literally, you know, four or five car lengths versus 4 or 5 seconds. So, very dicey, like basically what I was just saying is that if one of those two behind him had stopped and gotten wet tires, might have had an opportunity to get past him on that following lap.
Exactly. But, now, after this incident, everybody pits. I mean, everybody. There's many.
Already behind the leaders, everybody's going in.
Yes, and what's impressive is this is what Mercedes was waiting for. Both Nico Rosberg and Michael Schumacher had not pitted until now, and now they finally pit for their full wet tires.
Yep.
Very impressive, and this is the reason why they will finish in good points-paying position, having started so way back in the field.
Yeah, very Ross Braun-ish for strategy.
Exactly. So, on lap 35, as the field comes around, Robert Kubica pits, Mark Webber pits,
Lewis Hamilton pits.
Everybody pits that's in the lead as they come around. And, of course, Robert Kubica's big mistake of the season with Renault and that he overshoots his pit box,
and
because he was fiddling with his steering wheel.
No, I don't think he had a lot of choice, because if you watch him coming into his pit box, he turns the tires and the car keeps going straight.
Yeah, but that's because he was going too fast and he knew he needs to slow down even slower than the 100 kilometer an hour speed.
I don't know that it would have made much difference, because he obviously hit a wet spot in the pit lane and his car goes, and it cost him a position.
He would have been P2. But he lost it to Mark Webber, who always does a really, really fantastic pit stop. The Red Bull's are phenomenal.
Solid.
And Renault's has been pretty good. This was Robert Kubica's.
And actually,
they handle it well.
Considering what happened, they did a really good job.
They just continue. They start changing the tires and deal with it.
Yeah, it cost him, basically, what had happened is it cost him 3 seconds for them to get reset to start.
Right, exactly.
And he
hit a couple people.
Well, he knocked them over. They had to reset. So.
Exactly. So there you have it. So on lap 35, it's Lewis Hamilton, Mark Webber, Robert Kubica, Felipe Massa, Adrian Sutil, Michael Schumacher, Kobayashi, Fernando Alonso, Nico Rosberg, and Vitaly Petrov, who started last. Now the rain is beginning to slow. Nico Hülkenberg, after all this, stays on slick tires.
Yep, that's probably why he's on the track pirouetting.
Exactly. Lap 37, Sebastian Vettel to Fernando Alonso is being investigated for pit lane incident. And a lot of this wasn't seen during the race, but they did replay it. And of course, once again, I think this is wrong to investigate. Because when the pit lane is full, trying to get your car back into the race is so hard. You're going to be close to somebody.
Yeah, unsafe safe pit release kind of thing. It's kind of like...
Now, in the past, they used to close the pits during the first lap of the safety car and what have you to avoid this kind of scenario.
But you even in those cases, on that second lap, you still had the same kind of stuff where everybody's going in.
Yeah, so I think a little more latitude needs to be given to some of these cars because it's really hard to get... I mean, you're and in a race, for God's sakes.
And it comes down to, I do like the fact that they're being investigated for after. Rather than during.
That's true.
So that, it's going to basically be fines rather than positions.
Exactly. Sebastian Vettel pits for the fifth time, this time for full wets again. For some reason, the first series...
He probably burned out.
It wasn't wet enough out there.
And it really still isn't. I'm not sure why he went back to full wets.
I was surprised as well, but they were talking to the weatherman.
Yeah, well, it also may have been, too, that he didn't have a set of intermediates to go to.
Very possible.
There were a lot of teams, like we said before, that burned theirs up in practice and quali.
Now, Fernando Alonso decides to...
That he's tired of racing today. And
yes, he hits some of that artificial turf on the edge of the curb.
Yeah, he basically...
It's wet.
When it's wet, the one thing you do not want to do is get to the outside edge of the curbs because there's this big puddle there.
It's bad. He spins. He's out. You can see the front broken suspension where he tags the wall. He's in the middle of the road. He gets out of the car for his own safety.
That was a little scary because he was basically covering 2/3 of the road with his car.
And I believe this happened at Malmedy. And it's over for Fernando. It's over for Jenson Button. It's over for Fernando Alonso. Sebastian Vettel's not going to score any points. He might if he's super lucky.
Yeah, well, if like three other people spin out in front of him.
Exactly. But this, for some of these championship contenders, this is a bad weekend.
Yeah, not a good weekend.
Especially after those long vacations. Everybody was hoping for a great day at Spa. Could you imagine? What a disaster.
We know two people are going home real happy.
Somebody's always going to go home happy. But the people that I thought should be doing well are complete flops, except for Robert Kubica, really.
Yeah, very interesting that two of the better wet weather drivers had such a rough weekend.
Yeah, and what's funny is Mercedes Grand Prix, who looked terrible, Force India was passing him left and right. They started at the back of the field, practically. They end with good points haul.
Yeah, a really good points weekend for them, considering where they started.
Exactly. Lap 38. Nico Hülkenberg, Vitaly Liuzzi, Sebastian Buemi, all pit. Pedro De La Rosa pits. And I was just counting. Michael Schumacher had moved up 15 places. Vitaly Petrov moved up 14 spots. It's very, very sophisticated.
Yeah, very good weekend. Very good race for Vitaly. Considering where he started.
Okay, so the safety car is out because of the spin by Fernando Alonso and his Ferrari.
Got a car on the track. So,
and what's funny is Lewis Hamilton is following the safety car as he should, and gets on the radio and says, "The safety car is going to say." He goes, "I think the safety car should pick up the pace." It's a safety car, not a pace car.
Yeah, knowing that it's the safety car and it's a wet track. The dude is probably going as fast as he would not do for the safety car to spit off into the barriers.
Well, he's worried about his tires cooling, temperatures dropping, pressure dropping, a lot of bad things, especially on a wet track. So I thought it was fascinating. Lap 40, the safety car comes in, and the top three stay pretty close together.
Lewis tries to...
Well, you see Mark Webber... really staying close to Lewis because he knows he's coming around that start line.
Yep, and he knows Lewis is trying to set him up, and he's making sure that he's maintaining the same pace.
Right, and Robert Kubica is pretty much doing the same thing to Mark Webber.
Yeah, it was a really good, clean restart. And kind of felt that it was going to be tough for anybody to catch Lewis coming off of it.
Absolutely, it was very good, but a good restart after the safety car comes in. Nico Rosberg... Now, this is interesting. There was an incident. You know, Nico Rosberg is passing Kobayashi, then Michael Schumacher. What was going on there, Steve?
Actually, it was a really good pass by Nico Rosberg on Michael Schumacher.
Almost like Schumacher couldn't get it together after the safety car came in.
Yeah, it was almost, you know, the pass was really kind of a good under-over to get him at the end of the Camel Straight. He basically just braked better, got him in a position, and just snuck past him. It was pretty much the same pass that Michael put on him to get ahead of him when he caught his wing. Well, Nico kind of went, I remember that, and basically reversed that same play on him.
Exactly, like that. Two Germans fighting it out. While this is going on, Jarno Trulli spins his Lotus at high speed. It was a pretty good spin. With cars around him, nobody hits him.
Oh, it was a bloody miracle, too, because he's like right between like four other cars as he's whipping around.
Yeah, some of these people really have some good karma.
Yeah, that was a scary one because, you know, he's pointing the wrong direction at really the wrong moment and is lucky that his car got far enough around that he didn't get cut in half.
No, and he didn't stall it, and he continues on.
Yep.
Keep up the good work.
Did take him a little bit. I did notice it took him a couple of seconds before he actually decided to get back on track.
Well, his cage was rattled a little
bit. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Lap 41, Nico Hülkenberg goes wide. Pedro de la Rosa goes wide at Stavelot. Vitantonio Liuzzi is attacking Jaime Alguersuari for P11. Everybody wants to... and this is where the Jaime Alguersuari incident, where he is penalized and the point that he gains in finishing 10th for passing Vitantonio Liuzzi will go to Vitantonio at the end of the race. Because Jaime Alguersuari cut the chicane.
Oops.
You think some of these people would know by now.
Yeah, you'd think he would have learned. Well, I guess he wasn't in the sport in 08, so... But he probably watched the race. He was probably there.
Anyway, there you have it. Lewis Hamilton wins a fantastic and chaotic dry and wet race. Mark Webber is so happy with second. You can't imagine. Robert Kubica, sorry about the mistake in the pits. Lost a position, but on the podium for Renault. We have Felipe Massa in fourth, beating Fernando in a nice way.
And you know Felipe's going, you know, you should have let me get this 25 in Germany.
Yeah, probably. Adrian Sutil, a great drive from him in P5. Nico Rosberg and Michael Schumacher, P6 and 7. Kobayashi, Vitaly Petrov, and of course I said Jaime Alguersuari finished in P10, but he was penalized 20 seconds, and the point went to Vitantonio Liuzzi. So there you have it, an exciting race. Of course, now we go to Monza in 2 weeks, and that is going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's interesting that everybody's going like, hey, we're not going to bother with the F-duck because we're going to have so little downforce in the car anyway. It won't make a difference.
Of course. Absolutely. But now, of course, Lewis Hamilton is leading the World Championship, the Drivers' World Championship. Mark Webber is behind him by 3 points. And, of course, Lewis Hamilton and Mark Webber, you know, they're starting to think that, you know, it's time for the team.
Well, it's starting to get to the point where it's getting close to being a two-horse race.
And you better pick a number one.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think either team's going to do it for at least another two races.
Probably not. Some people are saying
it's too early. They won't do it for the Italian, for sure. Maybe if either of them takes a healthy points haul over their teammate there, then they might. But don't bet on it because you've got two teams. You've got one team that's got two world champions. So it's going to be really tough to get the team to buy up on one. And then the other team, you've got two unworld champions who are both very talented drivers who both have the ability to win the championship from where they're at. So it's going to be a little tough. You might get a little bit of preferential treatment. You know, you may get first pick of wings or first pick of strategy, but don't expect the team to roll over and give you, you know, carte blanche.
Yeah. Christian Horner says, I think it's too early to be contemplating supporting one driver. All five are still in this championship, and with the way the point scoring is, the gaps can look deceptive. While they look quite large, in reality, they can reduce dramatically very, very quickly. 150 points are still on the board, and it is a bit premature to be talking about that at the moment.
Yeah, there's still a lot of racing to be done, especially with the change in the points, where a win is 25 points. That, you know, when it was, you know, the win was, what was it, 15? Big difference now, because if you can win and basically outpace your either your teammate or your, you know, one of the other guys in the top, you know, by three or four pace places, you're back in it.
I agree. Martin Whitmarsh, says he's equally sure that Hamilton would still be treated on totally equal terms to Jenson Button. Jenson was saying to Lewis, I'm 35 points behind, but I still have to nail you. And that is how it should be.
Yeah, so, 35 points. If for some reason Lewis DNFs and Button wins a race, that's 10 point. It's a 10 point gap.
I agree. Martin Whitmarsh also on Sebastian Vettel. It was not what you would expect to see in Formula One. More reminiscent of Junior Formulae. A drive-through seemed a pretty light punishment to me.
Well, that's because his guy was out of the race.
Exactly.
He probably wanted him black flagged.
And he also said, Vettel's a nice guy, but he didn't need to do it. When you keep doing these things, you have to reflect on what is on your mind on this occasion. It looked like he was trying to go for an inside gap where, as I said, there were a few inches. What he thought he was doing there, I don't know, and he lost it. I would rather he did it with his teammates rather than doing it to us. Vettel did apologize to Jenson Button, of course. So, you know, what can you do?
It's one of those. To me, that was a racing incident. You know, he was coming up. He wanted to be close. You know, maybe he gets him going up, you know, through Roscoe and then up the Camel Straight. But the car breaks loose and he spears him. You know, it could have gone a different way. He could have broken loose and busted himself up on the back of Jensen's car instead. And they would have probably both. That was just the way his car came free and then just whipped around and stabbed Jensen's in the side was really a little bizarre.
It was, and I'm sure everybody will be talking about it for the following 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Okay, now I've got a few facts, some statistics about Spa on 6-7 drivers, just because we have a little bit of extra time before we go into 50 words on the Belgian Grand Prix. Okay, concerning Jenson Button, he has only one podium finish in 2005. The last time he scored points, he has retired 5 times out of 8 starts, and last year the Belgian Grand Prix was his only retirement of the season. In qualifying, his balance against his teammates is 4-4. But the last time he started inside the top 10 was in 2005. Lewis Hamilton was disqualified from the first F3 race in 2005, but went on to win the second one. In 2008, he won from pole only to be penalized and demoted to third, as we remember. And in 2009, he was hit from behind and his race ended on the first lap. Of course, Herr Schumacher dominates the stats with 6 wins at the track where he made his F1 debut in 91. Took his maiden win the following year. His last visit here was in 05 when he retired. Excluding 3 retirements and a disqualification in 94 when he had won the race, he has always finished first. 6 times or second 3 times. In qualifying, he has beaten his teammate 12 times out of 13.
So Nico's probably really happy to have beaten him because that makes him look a little better.
Exactly. Felipe Massa won in 2008 after Hamilton was penalized and has qualified on the front row in his last 2 visits. Ferrari teammate Fernando Alonso has never started from the front row and never won at Spa. Rubens Barrichello claimed his maiden pole in 1994 driving for Jordan. Between 07 and 09, Jaime Alguersuari raced here in 4 different championships. He won the Formula Renault Italy race in 07. He was 3rd and 4th in British F3 08, 6th in the Formula Renault 3.5 race 3 months before last year's Grand Prix, from which he retired. Jarno Trulli holds the record for the fastest lap of the current circuit.
Wow.
1 minute 44 seconds and 503 thousandths. Set in the second qualifying session last year, he has outqualified his teammate 10-1, beaten only by Jean Zelezi, 9 years ago in changing weather conditions, but his only points finish was sixth in 1998, two laps down. So there you have it, some stats.
There was another little interesting tidbit in the fact that Fernando Alonso's wreck today was Ferrari's first retirement of the season.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, especially after the fact that his engine blew up in Malaysia, but he actually classified in that race, therefore not being named as a retirement.
Exactly. So anyway, let's go right to the forum. 50 words on the Belgian Grand Prix.
Sehesin writes, Vettel takes the opportunity to throw it all away again. Schumacher shows that you can't always keep a good man down, even with a 10-place penalty, while Hamilton takes advantage of it all.
From Sorpheus, F1 at Spa. In the sun, Eau Rouge is a joy. In the rain, mailed.
Frank Duggison writes, Weber bungles the start while Lewis takes control and never looks back. Vettel spends most of the race in pit lane. Michael defies his age while Rubens can't remember where he put that brake pedal. A typically delightful Spa race.
From Ye, Vettel is a jit. Took out the wrong McLaren. Props to Mark for keeping his head after that start.
Miguel writes, RBR reliability issues confirms rule that in Spa you don't win from pole. And Hamilton made the most of it. Arnage diced an undeserved penalty to Seb, who then decided to impose further self-handicaps. Penalty of events, indeed, but a fairly dull race.
From Auto Racer 5, after the Indy race, I had high expectations, considering that for this race, I was awake before Jesus and the Mexicans. It was an okay race by Spa's standards, but the stewards were wrong about Vettel's drive-thru. I loved how everyone missed the bus stop on lap one.
Neon Zapper writes, congrats to Hamilton on a nice clean win and on leading the title. Weber's launch was unexpected, but he proved to be the contender. Sutil is bringing Force India closer towards the serious zone. Massa seems to be pushing harder, but not as hard as Rubens hit Alonso. Congrats to Kubica for his driving skills. In all, a fine race with several points of excitement beside the weather.
Okay, and from Rat Hump, gotta love that rain. And finally from Desiree at F1Weekly.com, she says, Circuit de Spa-Francorchamps, best track of the season. Memories of Kimi in my mind. Rubens' 300th appearance was brief. Teams wonder whether the weather will wet and when. The weather will wet and when. Fascinating. Mark slow off the start. Lewis takes to the front and stays there. Impetuous Vettel undoes a button and their races. Hamilton takes the checkers and a win that no one can take back. Keep up the good work, Desiree. Thanks, everyone.
Leave it to Desiree to throw at least 3 innuendos into 50 words.
Exactly. What can you do? You know, I don't even know why I bother reading these things. You know, those innuendos are going to be there. Anyway, thank you very much. Quickly, I want to remind everybody about San Francisco Formula One Group, sff1.com. Check them out a few days before the race. They're always doing some kind of meetup group somewhere in the San Francisco Bay Area. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. Simply go to CameronKarting.com. Want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites? Just do a search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. We'll see you on the midweek podcast. Good night.
Good night.